my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's clear that our celebration today features in a unique manner the unity of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, the Catholic Church in central and southern Indiana. And this cathedral, the mother church of Catholics of this archdiocese, we see bishops, priests, deacons, pastoral leaders, religious, and the faithful gathered around the table of God's word and sacrament. There are few times when the unity of our church, our archdiocesan church, is more evident. A fundamental fact about the Catholic Church is that it is a church of word and sacrament. Many Christian churches are churches of the word. We are a church of word and sacrament. And at the heart of this afternoon's liturgy is the blessing of holy oils. The oil for anointing catechumens, the oil for comforting and strengthening the sick, and the chrism for the great sacraments that confer the Holy Spirit, confirmation, priestly ordination, and episcopal ordination. In these sacraments, the Lord touches us through the elements of creation. The unity between creation and redemption is made visible. The sacraments are an expression of our faith, which far from being simply a head trip, embraces the whole person, body and soul. Bread and wine are fruits of the earth, the work of human hands. The Lord chose them to be bearers of His presence. Oil in Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, it points us toward Christ. You'll remember that the word Christ is the Greek translation of the word Messiah. Both words mean the Anointed One. The humanity of Jesus, by virtue of the Son's union with the Father, is brought into communion with the Holy Spirit in a unique way. And thus Jesus is anointed in a unique way, penetrated, as it were, by the Holy Spirit. What happened symbolically to kings and priests of the Old Testament when they were instituted into their ministry by the anointing with oil takes place in Jesus in all its reality. Jesus identifies with the servant who is anointed to bring good news to the poor. His humanity is penetrated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He opens our humanity for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the more we are united with Christ, the more we are filled with His Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. We call ourselves Christians, which literally means anointed ones, people who belong to Christ and have a share in His anointing, being touched by the Spirit. A bishop and father of the early church, St. Ignatius of Antioch, said, "I wish not merely to be called a Christian, but also to be a Christian." Let us allow these holy oils, which are consecrated this afternoon, to remind us of the task that is implicit in the word Christian. Let us pray that increasingly we may not only be called Christians, but may actually be such. The first oil that we'll bless is the oil of catechumens. Now, how does this oil symbolize our being touched, penetrated by the Holy Spirit? The oil is used to anoint candidates for baptism. Through this first anointing, which takes place prior to baptism, our gaze is turned towards the Lord, but also towards people who are journeying towards the Lord, towards Christ, people who are searching, who are looking for faith, searching for God. The oil of catechumens tells us that it is not only we who seek God. God is searching for us. The fact that the living God was made man and came into the depths of human existence, even as we'll remember this week, into the darkness of death, shows us how much God loves women and men who are created in God's image. We can understand better the doctrine of St. Alphonsus, who said that for God, paradise is the human heart. That's where God searches to go. We must never allow that restlessness for God, that journeying towards Him so as to know and love Him better, to be extinguished in us. In this sense, all of us who were baptized, all of us who were anointed with the oil of catechumens, should strive to remain catechumens. The 105th Psalm says, "Seek constantly the face of God." Commentating on that verse, St. Augustine says, "God is so great as to surpass infinitely all our knowing and all our being. Knowledge of God is never exhausted. For all eternity and with ever-increasing joy, we can always continue to seek Him so as to know Him and love Him more and more." You remember that same saint, at the beginning of his confessions, also wrote, "Our heart is restless until it rests in you." Yes, human beings are restless because whatever is finite is too little for us. We were built with a larger horizon. All of us who were once baptized were once anointed with the oil of catechumens. We might ask ourselves, are we still restless for God? Have we been perhaps a bit resigned to keeping Him in a box? Or do we simply seek to be self-sufficient, our own people? I don't think we should let our humanity be diminished in this way, because to try and live without God finally is inhuman. Let us remain constantly on a journey towards Him, longing for God, always open to receiving new knowledge and new love. We'll also bless the oil that will be used in the sacramental anointing of the sick. St. Luke describes that Jesus sent His disciples forth to announce the kingdom and to heal the sick. Healing is one of the fundamental tasks entrusted by Jesus to His church, and following His own example of healing the sick. To be sure, the principal task of the church is to proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. But this very proclamation has to be a process of healing, a proclamation that binds up the brokenhearted, as we heard in the first reading and repeated in the Gospel. The proclamation of God's kingdom, of God's unlimited goodness, must first of all bring healing to broken hearts. Now, I think no matter how much we like to be alone at times, we human beings are relational by nature. But if the fundamental relationship of our lives, our relationship with God, is disturbed, then all the other relationships in our life can't help but be affected. If our relationship with God is disturbed, if the fundamental orientation of our being is awry, we cannot truly be healed in body and soul. For this reason, the first and fundamental healing takes place in our encounter with Christ, who reconciles us to God and mends our broken hearts. But over and above this central task, the Church's essential mission also includes the specific healing of sickness and suffering. The oil for the anointing of the sick is the visible sacramental expression of this mission. Since apostolic times, the healing vocation has matured in the Church, and so too has loving solicitude for those who are distressed in body and soul. And I think today, above all other days, is an occasion to say thank you to the religious and lay throughout the Archdiocese who bring healing and love to the sick, who comfort the aged, irrespective of their race or creed. Finally, the most noble of ecclesial oils is Holy Chrism, a mixture of olive oil and aromatic vegetable oils. It is the oil used for the anointing of priests and kings, in continuity with the great Old Testament traditions of anointing. In the Church, this oil serves chiefly for anointing in the sacrament of confirmation and holy orders. Today's liturgy links that oil, that anointing, with the promise of the prophet Isaiah: "You shall be called the priests of the Lord. People shall speak of you as ministers of our God." The prophet makes mention here to the momentous words of commission and promise that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament: "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." In the wide, vast world of Israel, few people knew the living God, the real God. And so Israel was, as it were, a shrine for all peoples, exercising a priestly function in the world. It had to bring the world to God, to open it up for God. In his great baptismal catechesis, in his first letter, St. Peter applied this privilege and commission of Israel to the entire community of the baptized, proclaiming, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people." Baptism and confirmation are an initiation into this people of God that spans the world and spans all time. The anointing that takes place in baptism and confirmation is an anointing that confers this priestly ministry towards humankind. This is where all of us will exercise the gift of baptismal priesthood. As anointed ones, Christians are a priestly people. A priestly people for the world. We Christians should make the living God visible to the world. We have to bear witness to God and lead people towards God. When we speak of this task in which we share by virtue of our common baptism, it is no reason to boast. I think rather it's a question that we pose to ourselves that makes us a little uncomfortable and certainly raises questions. Are we truly God's shrine in central and southern Indiana? Do we open up the pathway for others to God, or rather, do we conceal it? Have we allowed our faith to be so privatized that it is practically unrecognizable? A bell is not a bell unless it's ringing, and light for the world is not light unless it is seen. We have reason to cry out at this time, Lenten time, to God: do not allow us to become no people. Make us recognize you again. Truly, you have anointed us with your love. You have poured out your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Grant that the power of your Spirit may become newly effective in us, so that we may bear joyful witness to your message. Because the Chrism Mass is traditionally celebrated on Holy Thursday, this Mass has special meaning for ordained priests. It was at the Last Supper that Jesus instituted the New Testament priesthood. With great gratitude for the vocation, our vocation, and with humility for all of our shortcomings, we now will renew our yes. The yes to the Lord's call that we made for the first time on the day of our ordination. Yes, I want to be intimately united to the Lord Jesus. Yes, I intend to deny myself and follow, because the love of Christ compels me. Because really, we have nowhere else to go.